Continuing our discussion of Vishnu Sahasranama, the name 727 Avyakta, unmanifest. I'm describing this name in some detail because it is important. The Mayavadis, they like to say that not visible, therefore not having form. Niraka, you've heard this term. The Supreme is Niraka. This is strongly contested because it's wrong. It's wrong. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Forms, names. Why are we discussing 1,000 names if he doesn't even have a form? It's most offensive to say that the Supreme is formless. In one sense, yes, but not absolutely, not in all senses. But this misconception is widespread. People think they're very intelligent. People think they're very intelligent if they smugly come to the conclusion that the Absolute is formless. But they're not intelligent. They're fools and they're rascals. And I think that strong language will just... It is strong language and it's fitting language and it's the language that Krishna uses in Bhagavad Gita. As I've quoted twice yesterday discussing this verse. Nahaṁ prakāśa sarvasya yogamaya samāvṛta mūḍho yaṁ nābhijā Krishna is not manifest to the mūḍhas. They don't see him. They cannot see him. Mūḍho yaṁ nābhijānāti loko māma jamavyayam. Elsewhere, I'll come to that verse. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam. It's just like I gave some examples. I'll give some more examples. Just like someone says, show me God. I was discussing that. Show me God. They want demand, show me God. Now, just like in this material world, vagabond. It's still quite common here in India that you see someone who's obviously mentally disturbed, wandering in the streets of a city, absolutely filthy, didn't bathe in weeks, months, absolutely filthy, and quite often they'll stand in the side of the road and as if they're directing the traffic. They think they're in control, although they're mentally deficient. The wild hair which hasn't been combed or cared for or cleaned in months. And really the very, very low, very, very bad karma, very to be in such a situation, but they think they're in control. Such madness. Now, if someone like that comes, say, okay, stand, comes outside the residence of the prime minister, a highly eminent person, says, show me the prime minister. I don't believe there's any prime minister. It's all propaganda. It's all a conspiracy theory. Then the guards will beat that person. Get out of here. Deserves to be beaten. Maybe he doesn't. You can say he's mentally deficient, but you say he doesn't deserve it. Well, that's another wrong idea, because someone who's in such a state of mind, they may not know what they're doing, but they got such a state of mind because they say such things as there's no God, or God has no form, and then they're talking like madmen who are not fit to be discussed with or dealt with by decent, respectable citizens, and therefore they such people, such is their reward. Huh. So if someone stands aside, the guards will beat him and drive him away because you can't just demand. It's insane that a vagabond will demand, oh, the prime minister, he should come and show himself to me. And also the people who are going in and out of the prime minister's residence, They themselves are the most highly respected people in society, good citizens. So they should be allowed to go in and out and conduct their business with all due respect to the Prime Minister, as is suitable. And they shouldn't have to be disturbed by such vagabonds. So that's the duty of the guards to remove such rascals. And so you may say, well, who are you to use such strong language? Well, we're just trying to warn people. If you don't, just wake up, you fool. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, you might not be able to see him, but the whole goal of life is to act in such a way that he will be pleased to see you. If you can't see him, and then because of our puny intelligence and limited senses, we can't see him, and therefore we proudly say he doesn't exist, then you're going to, then as a result of that misuse of human life, because human life is meant for understanding, using our cool-headed intelligence to come to understand and respect and realize that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifest in everything and everyone and everywhere. It's just our foolishness and our sinfulness that we can't see him. So if people, if they defy the Personality of Godhead, then they have to suffer severely karmic reactions life after life. If they misuse their human form of life, instead of being submissive, trying to understand God, and instead defy his very existence, or say, yes, yes, there's God, but he doesn't have any form. Unseen. It's, some rascal, Mayavadi, used to say that he's dead now. Good riddance. He used to say, well, Krishna means black. Okay, that's a dictionary meaning of the word Krishna. Black means darkness, ignorance, cannot be seen. So why should we bother trying to see Krishna? Something like that, rascaldom. So we should know that, yes, he is avyakta. We're not saying he's not avyakta, but he's unmanifest to us because we are not fit to see him. And human life is meant for acting in such a way that we purify our consciousness so that we become fit to see him at every step of life, in every breath. Okay, back to the commentators. Satya Devo Vashishta quotes from the Atharva Veda, Antisanti Napa, try again. Antisanti na pashyati antisantam na jahati devasya pashya kavyam na mamara na jiryati. This gives the idea that although the Supreme Lord is close by and never far away, he's not seen. He neither ages nor decays like everything that we do see. Such is the wonder of he. Satya Deva Vashishta also quotes from Shvetashvatara Upanishad in regard to the name Avyakta. Eko Deva Sarvabhuteshu Guraha. He is the one supreme Lord, but he remains hidden in all living beings. He's within the heart of every living being. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hridesha arjuna chishtati. Within the heart of every living being, he is residing. We don't see him in the heart, but from that vantage point, he is directing all of our movements from body to body to body, and even within every body. Sri Vivi Ramanuja quotes from the Divya Prabandhas, which I won't attempt to quote, that he's beyond the grasp of mere logical analysis. Logic has its limitations even in understanding the material, and what to speak of understanding the spiritual. He is beyond comprehension, his true nature. Of course, the devotees can understand to some extent. He can, and very kindly does, Vishnu, we're talking about, Vishnu Sahasranama, right? He can and very kindly does take many forms, but not even one form can be defined or comprehended or described in totality. Therefore, Sri Shankaracharya gives another meaning. He's given one meaning, which I spoke on yesterday. He's called Avyakta because he cannot be defined precisely in terms like, this is his nature, he is like this. We can say, but you can never exactly precisely define. Shankara says, Yadyapi aneka murtidvam asya tatapi ayam idrishaiva iti na vyajyata iti avyaktaha. Note here that Shankara alludes to the previous name given, aneka murti. He mentions this name. So he says that even though he has many forms, to fully and properly describe is not possible, therefore unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? We say manifest when things are perceived by the senses. But Krishna is not perceived by the senses unless the senses become purified. The art of bhakti sadhana is to purify the senses so that the senses become pure enough to see the Lord. It's not exactly like some yoga sadhana where you build up, you have the illusion of building up your own mystic powers and strength and sense control and mind control. But bhakti really means calling out to the Supreme Lord for his help. And then when he wants, he reveals himself to the devotees, seeing the devotees' sincere efforts in devotional service. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhaved Grahyam Indriyai Sevon Mukhe Hi Jivado Swayameva Spuratyadaha. Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse innumerable times, that we cannot by our mundane senses see, touch, taste, smell, feel, or hear the Supreme Lord, nor by our limited mind and our intelligence can we comprehend him. But when we develop a mood of simply wanting to submissively serve him, and in this way we engage our senses in his service, that's another. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchyate. By engaging the senses in he who is the master of the senses. Beginning with the tongue, just like now I'm talking about Vishnu, in a manner which is devotional, having been blessed by my most merciful Guru, Pada Padma, His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, I'm now engaged in using my tongue in speaking about the Supreme Lord. The tongue is also engaged in his service by chanting his names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There's so many names. We're discussing the thousand names of Vishnu. It's just a sampler. There are so many more. So engaging the tongue by speaking about Vishnu and speaking his names, and engaging the tongue by tasting food which is offered to him, Krishna Prasada, the vow to accept only that food which is offered to him. So the result of that is, again, it's not mechanical, but when he is pleased, he becomes very pleased with that, and then he blesses the devotee by revealing himself to that devotee. So he's unmanifest, but he kindly manifests himself to his loving devotee. Yeah, and then that. Yeah. Otherwise, he is avang manasa gochara, the Vedic language. He's beyond the scope of the words to describe, any words to describe, and the mind to understand. Another way that he is avyakta, yeah, he's one name already given is Sakshi. He's the witness of everything. There's a, in this material world, we may think that we can get away with whatever we like. If we can evade the law, all well and good. But there are the laws of karma. We can't get away with anything. There is the Sakshi, that name is already given for Vishnu here in Vishnu Sahasranam. Sakshi, witness, Upadrashta. We see, he also sees. He sees everything we're doing. In the Bhagavatam, it's stated, Narayana Akhila Loka Sakshine, offering or referring to the Supreme Lord Narayana, who is the witness of everything and everyone within all the worlds. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada recounted to us how in his college days in Calcutta in the early 20th century, he went to a Christian college. So in his college days, in the class, one of the professors there, because it was Scottish church colleges, they were being taught by Scotsmen. And so one of the professors, he mocked the concept of karma, because of course Christians, like Jews and Muslims also, they believe that with the birth of the body, human body only, the soul comes into existence. And there's only one birth, and then you die, and then you go to hell forever because God loves us, unless you happen to be a Christian, or, according to the Muslims, unless you happen to be a Muslim. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he understood, as a polite schoolboy, he didn't protest, but he understood that, the professor said, well, where's the witness? Who knows you did so many good things or bad things? You'd think as a Christian, you would know that the witness of everything is God. So if we accept that there's repeated birth, then the God is the witness. It doesn't disprove this. If we accept the Christian, he's trying to prove that karma, the karma theory is wrong. But he himself accepts the existence of God as the witness. So if, why not in more than one life? It doesn't disprove the reality. Actually, it's reality of karma. You can say, I'm a Christian, I don't believe in it, but believe or not believe, it's a fact. Now the Madhva Sampradaya in particular is very strong in opposing the idea of undifferentiated monism. Actually, any monism, even differentiated monism. They don't like monism. Madhva Sampradaya, beginning with Madhva Acharya himself, they really don't like monism. This idea. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much appreciated that in of the Madhva Sampradaya. So in the published Madhva commentary, which is published in English, actually it's a lot of Sanskrit in it, also a lot of Nagari type also. There are many explanations of how avyakta pertains to Vishnu. After all, it's the name of Vishnu, right? Vishnu Sahasranam. It's not meant to indicate something which is ultimately impersonal. Here's a very nice one, just to start. I'll go through some of the Madhva interpretations. Doshai vyakta na bhavati iti avyakta. Vishnu is called avyakta because there are no manifest faults in him. You can't find any fault in him. Fault, you may say, well, someone may have a subtle fault which you can't perceive, but that will become manifest in due course of time. But it's imperceivable. Of course, the demons, they accuse Krishna of so many things, rascals. But if one is actually on the platform of transcendental realization, seeing reality as it is, then we should understand that there is no fault in Vishnu. And there is fault in the material world, and everyone in this material world is faulty because of the fault of ascribing fault to Vishnu. So that's a very important understanding. Another meaning from the Madhva Sampradaya. Avyakta visheshana avyakta. Which is translated as Vishnu is called avyakta because he is not visible by special manners. Number three. Murti matve pi na vyajyate iti avyaktaha. Oh, there's a little more to the Sanskrit here. Anugraham vena. And then the commentary explained that Vishnu is having a figure which is a Prakrita Sandaurya Murti. His form is one of non-material, extraordinary beauty, but it is not visible without his special blessings. So this echoes some of the discussions which have been given previously. Now, the Madhva commentary also draws on discussion of the word avyakta from Srimad Acharya, that in their sampradaya that refers to Madhva Acharya, from his commentary on Vedanta Sutras. Sukshmam eva avyakta. Shabdena uchate. It means that which is of what is called avyakta is that which is very subtle. So obviously Vishnu is most subtle in this world. Avang manasa gochara. He's not very easily seen or described or comprehended. So most subtle is Vishnu. That's the most important subtlety is that of Vishnu. Here's something which is very typical of the Madhva Sampradaya, which could be the source of much theological conflict. I'm just going to quote it and leave it at that. From Madhvacharya's commentary on the sutra in Vedanta Sutras, sukshmam tu pramanam tascha tatopalabdhe. And it's the commentary here of Srimad Madhvacharya. Sarvata Prakriti Sukshma Prakriti Parameshvara. The most subtle is Goddess Mahalakshmi, who is the presiding deity of Prakriti. Above her is Vishnu Parameshvara. Gyanānandau tathaiśvāryaṁ gunaschānye dhikā prabhoho iti ca turashruti chatur iti ca turashruti. In knowledge, Ananda, and in all wealth, he is supreme and is very much more than Mahalakshmi. Therefore, he is called Avyakta. I won't comment further on this. This is Madhva Bhasha. And then, again in his commentary, Tadavyakta Mahahi, Madhvacharya's commentary, another sutra of Vedanta Sutras. Madhvacharya states, avyaktom eva. Oh, it's printing is not very clear. Avyaktam eva tad bahya svataha. Brahma, by nature, Brahma, the absolute, ultimate reality, is avyakta by nature. Therefore, Vishnu, who is Brahma, is called avyakta, unmanifest. Now, here, the very important point is raised in this commentary. Vishnu is avyakta, unseen, not clearly, very visibly manifest. So, how are we going to see him? How are we going to get in contact with him? We're here, we're in gross bodily existence, we're in this gross material world. He's so subtle, he's beyond our mind and its senses and intelligence. How are we going to attain to him? We may become disappointed, dejected, and hopeless of ever having the opportunity to attain to his lotus feet. Then again, quoting in reply, quoting from Madhvacharya's commentary on Vedanta Sutras, on the sutra, Ata anantena tatahi lingam. Madhvacharya states, Ubhayatra, is it? So small, I can't see. Ubhayatra. Vayatra pramana bhavat tat prasada deva prakasho bhavati. So you can follow what that means. By his mercy. By his mercy he reveals himself. And he quotes again. From Narayana Dhyatma, Nityavyakto Pi Bhagavan Ikshate Nija Shaktita Narite Paramatmananka Pashyetamitang Prabhum. Now, although the word achintya is not used exactly in the Sanskrit, it's very interesting that the translator here has used the word achintya shakti, which is a central concept in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, especially in his rebuttal of Mayavada, as we find in the 7th chapter of Adi Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita and 25th chapter of the Madhya Lila. So he, achintya shakti, this concept is invoked, that how the Supreme Lord manifests the material world, it's by his achintya shakti. So by his extraordinary power. The reconciliation between him being unmanifest beyond our ability to see, then by his own mercy, by his he makes us who are incapable of seeing him, he makes us capable. Then, very interestingly, in the Madhva commentary, quotes from the Gita, which we, in line with our Gaudiya Acharyas and other Acharyas, in context, we take this, he's quoting from the Gita, second chapter, we take this to be a description of the individual atomic soul, Srila Prabhupada uses that term, the Jivatma. Avyakto yam achintyo yam avikaryo yam uchyate tasmad enang viditvainang nanu shochitam arhasi. The word used is avyakta. The soul, the individual soul, is unmanifest. You say, I don't believe any soul. You cut the body, you don't find any soul. So what the Madhva Sampradaya, they say, here quoting, I am avyaktaha. This Hari is very subtle. I am achintya. He is beyond human contemplation, beyond ata avikaryaha. He is the same always without any change. Hence Vishnu is called avyakta. But we can understand from this that if the soul, the individual soul, is avyakta, then it is unmanifest. Even if we find it hard to understand our own very selves, who are individual living beings, then what to speak of the Supreme Soul? Think about it. Unthinkable, but think about it. Then a very important verse, which I haven't caught it up to now, and it comes in the Madhva commentary. Very important verse from Gita. Avyaktam vyaktim apanam manyante mama buddhaya param bhava majananto mamavya manutamam. Those who say, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who think that my personality, my personhood, is manifested from the unmanifest. Such persons, Krishna says, are abuddhaya. It's a polite way of saying they're dull-headed, foolish rascals. Simply means not having intelligence. It's actually perverse intelligence, but perverse intelligence like having no intelligence. They don't know that Krishna is on a higher level altogether than their stupid little brains. They don't know that Krishna is inexhaustible and supreme. So avyakta, then we can understand, means he's not to be equated with the tiny little jivas. His personality is not manifested from something impersonal. Rather, the impersonal aspect of ultimate reality is manifest from his personality. Again, from Bhagavad Gita, quoted in the Madhva commentary on this name, avyakta. Avyaktokshra ityukta tamahuf paramangatim yang prapya nanivartante tadhama paramang mama. Avyakta, akshara, ityukta. Avyakta, the unmanifest, which is that which is akshara, means not visible to the eyes. The word akshara, that's also a name in Vishnu Sahasrara. He's from at to ksha, everything describable. Everything. So avyakta is a term for the Supreme Lord, very clearly from this, because he speaks of, in this very verse, speaks of Tadhama Paramam Mama. He has his own specific place. Then Gita again in Madhva commentary. Mayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyakta murtina. Again the word avyakta in Gita. Avyakta murti. Madstani sarva bhutani na chahum teshvavastita. All these worlds with animate and inanimate objects are pervaded and surrounded by Krishna, his avyakta murti. The whole material cosmic manifestation can be considered his avyakta murti. Every living being and every non-living being in the material existence exists within Krishna, but that's not his direct original personal form. So this is Lord Krishna. Avyakta Murti. Then, Avyakta means Brahman. Going through this a little quickly. Aksharam Brahma Paramam. So Akshara means Brahma. So, no. Krishna is not, he's manifest to the devotees. But even the residents of Vrindavan, the topmost devotees, though he's manifest to them, they don't understand him to be the Supreme Lord, but that is due to their love for him. He's the yogis, they try to get a glimpse of his lotus feet, performing very difficult yoga meditation, but the residents of Vrindavan see Krishna all the time and live with him and love him. Sometimes he reveals, makes vyakta, his glories as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even to the residents of Vrindavan. As for instance, once he showed all the residents of Vrindavan the Vaikuntha worlds, which Sanatana Goswami comments, that means he showed them Golok Vrindavan. He showed twice, in Bhagavatam it's described how he showed within his mouth all the cosmic manifestation he showed to Mother Yashoda within his own mouth. And several times he killed terrible demons who were possessed of highly dangerous mystic powers who were fearful even to the demigods. So actually many times Krishna showed his superhuman prowess, which sometimes had the Vrajavasis wondering, well, maybe he's God. But by the power of Yoga Maya, Krishna's energy for effecting his pastimes, again, they very quickly forgot all this manifestation of his greatness. And that greatness of his, which we're discussing. Avyakta, what's Avyakta? His greatness, his power, his majesty, his glory. But the Vrajavasis also can't see it, but they're on a different level because they're on the level of pure love. And that's why they can't see it. That's it. So going through the Vaikuntha conception, through offering great respect, that's not such an easy thing either. We shouldn't very cheaply think I'd become a gopi. May gopi whom? Running around saying I'm a gopi and then go back to your normal life as a Delhi housewife and watching the TV and rubbish, wasting your life. Anyway, it's good somehow or other thinking of Krishna, but we should understand Krishna's greatness by hearing about him. Aham sarvasya prabhavo matah sarvam pravartate iti madhva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha. From us in our position down below here in this contaminated material world, first of all, we need to understand that Krishna is the source of everything. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And understand that, and that will be the platform by which we can begin to worship him with love. And then we come to the platform of love, and then Krishna doesn't want us to think of him as great. That is the goal. So avyakta. Avyakta means that which is not seen. He's within our heart. We don't see him. All processes of religion and mysticism throughout the world, throughout history, have been processes to try to manifest or try to come in contact with that which is unmanifest, the spiritual energy, the spiritual existence. That's one way in which we can define the religious quest or the mystical quest, is to get in contact with that which is unmanifest and experience that. So in this regard, I will bring to an end this discussion of the name of Avyakta by quoting a verse which gets us to the heart of reality, that sometimes we have to see inside our heart, look within, for the kingdom of God is there. Lord Jesus Christ is quoted as saying, in John, of course, the mystical gospel, the four gospels, we'll find John is mystical. Look within, you'll find the kingdom of God there. So yes, look within. God is within our heart. So understanding that, that is the ultimate aim of all mysticism and religion, and that is the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I will quote a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami, which is quoted by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in as a blessing to introduce us to the personality, the nectar of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who makes that most subtle, most difficult, even for people who are highly spiritually advanced, even people of lover, who are lovers of God, to come to the level of Raja Bhakti, of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has come to manifest that within the world by the process of Sankirtan, chanting the holy names of Krishna, Sankirtan Prabhartak, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Jar Charanashrita Shaidhana. Sankirtan Jagge Tare Bhajai Shaidhana. He has come to inaugurate the Sankirtan movement, and those who worship by the process of Sankirtan, such people are glorious. So we can have entrance to Chaitanya Charitamrita by the mercy of Rupa Goswami, by his blessing conveyed to us by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami and conveyed to us by Srila Prabhupada. Anarpita Chirin Chirat Karunya Vatirno Kalo Samapyata Manutuj Valarasang Swabhakti Sriyam Hari Purita Sundara Duty Kadamba Sandipita Sada Hridya Kandari Spuritu Va Shachinandana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in everyone's heart. Ya Atmantayami Purusha Iti Sosyang Sarvibhavaha. He's in everyone's heart, and he is manifested in this world, dancing in bliss, and he invites us to join him in his dance of bliss, which will reveal to us what he has come to give, which is not revealed very often, very, very, very rarely revealed after a long time, that which is his heart. On their hridai mon, moramon vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart is the pastimes of Vrindavan. So he's come to reveal the Unatujvala Rasam, Swabhakti Shriyam, devotional service to himself, which is the highest resplendent level of bliss in devotional loving feelings. So Rupa Goswami blesses us that within the core of the heart, we find in Chandogya Upanishad, the Mayavadis love this one also, the discussion of the Hridayakash, the space within the heart, Dahana Vidya, that's called. But the Vaishnava Acharyas, of course, explain that means Vishnu in the heart, not just some weird impersonal conception. So that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu resides within the heart, and he has manifested himself as the son of Sachi. He revealed himself in that world. May that Sachi Nandana, the darling, beloved, delightful child of Sachi, be manifested within our hearts. And this is how he blesses the readers of Chaitanya Charitamrita, that when we hear Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will manifest within our hearts. And that love of Krishna, which has remained unmanifested for countless eons, will manifest. And then we can join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his manifest pastimes of dancing and chanting in pure love of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the most beloved. Yashoda Nandan, Shama Sundara, Sri Krishna, Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha, Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dante Nidhaya Chunakam Padaya Nipatya Kritva Chakakushatame Tadaham Bravimi He Sadhava Sakalameva Vihaya Durat Gauranga Chandra Charne Kurudanuraka.